Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
If we would be faithful and obedient to God, and we would seek the filling of His Holy Spirit to be the kind of success in the workplace that He has called us to be, one of the things that God will give us and one of the things we want is persuasive communication. God has called you to be profoundly persuasive.
Well, that's a familiar voice and a familiar message to a lot of Christians out there. Beth Moore of Living Proof Ministries, part of the message she has largely for women, but not for women exclusively, and she is popular. You'll find her teachings, her books, and Bible studies, and her videos in Christian churches all across denominational lines and non-denominational lines as well. What does she teach? Does it comport with Holy Scripture? And does her Bible study, her teaching, her videos, do they belong in Lutheran congregations? Greetings, welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 14th of November. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be looking at the teachings of Beth Moore and Living Proof Ministries. In the first half hour of Issues Etc., Pastor Christopher Hull will be our guest. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc. After our conversation with Pastor Hull, Pastor Larry Peters joins us. We're going to talk about the loss of community, both in the culture, but especially in the church. And there's a danger there that the church, in trying to remedy the loss of community, makes the building of community more important than the preaching of the gospel. We've seen it happen. We'll see what that danger is with Pastor Larry Peters in about a half hour. Then hour two of Issues Etc., we kick off a new series on man's failed attempts to reach God with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, author of the book Broken, Seven Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. We're going to be talking first about two failed attempts, mysticism and moralism. That's hour two of Issues Etc. Pastor Christopher Hull is senior pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois, and he's author of a two-part series titled Table Talk, Beth Moore. Pastor Hull, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, Reverend Wilkin, great to be back. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How would you explain the popularity, and it is, she's as popular as any evangelical teacher out there, how would you explain Beth Moore's popularity, especially with women, all across denominational lines?
Well, I think what you get with Beth Moore's Bible studies is one, emotionalism, you know, this really getting into how I feel and things of that nature, which we've gone against many times in confessional Lutheran circles. But I think her main appeal to women in her studies is getting into the mindset of people in the Bible. For example, in her Bible study, Jesus, the One and Only, which I quoted a couple times, she gets into this, you know, how did Mary feel? Or what do you think Joseph was thinking? There's no actual theology here. It's all, what do I think they were feeling? And does that relate to my feelings today? And then what the best part is, she'll quote like 20 biblical verses that have nothing to do with that actual passage in Scripture to support your emotions. So she's using the Bible to tell you the feelings you have are natural and good, and you should be comforted in that, and therefore powerful, that God, as I quote in one of my works, that God respects you. I think that's one of the main appeals it has to women, is that God respects them in their feelings, in their stage in life. At least so far in my readings of her.
So how would you summarize her message?
Well, her message in the first one I did is a typical evangelical one of free will. She is a lazy Arminian who says that the greatest gift God gives us is our free will to choose him. So what do you do with that? How do you get comfort then if that's the great gift God gives us is free will? Well, then you have to get into the Bible. You have to read more of the Bible. And the more you read the Bible, the more you'll know about God. The more you know about God, the more God will love you. And then once God loves you, then he respects you as a human being. So you look at her Bible studies, and there are a lot of, you know, prose. It's not much doctrine. It's a lot of fill-in-the-blank type of questions. You know, here's a question, read this one Bible verse, now fill-in-the-blank type of thing. So I hate saying it's almost like reading a, who's that guy who wrote the Da Vinci Code? Dan Brown. It's like reading a Dan Brown book. You feel smart once you read it because it's short chapters. And so, that's what Beth Moore's Bible studies are.
So let's kind of walk through and see if you could give us a thumbnail sketch of her take on a lot of kind of basic doctrines. You've already touched upon one, but go into a little more detail. You said an Arminian. Take that apart. What does it mean? What view of man in this fallen state does Beth Moore promote in her popular videos and books and Bible studies?
Well, her view of man is that man has problems. You know, he's sinful, but that's because of what he does. You know, you're born in this state of neutrality, like a Pinocchio almost, and you're the one who will choose, am I going to take this free will that God gave me, and will I be like Adam and take the forbidden fruit? You know, she mainly gets to Adam, doesn't knock Eve as much. Or will I do good? And this is the Christian life, is this neutral state, and which one will I choose? And, I mean, that is Arminian theology of how will I get to heaven is if I choose the good, then God will be pleased. And you see this throughout her Bible studies and especially in her books. One is, you know, how to get out of the ditches in life. How do we get out of despair? And you don't see things like, from depths of woe, I cry to thee. You see, what can I do to get out of this problem in life? My wife went to one of the Bible studies because they used to host these at Christ Lutheran where I am. And she walked out going, I had no comfort in the gospel. It was all what I need to do. And she made the comment, if someone with clinical depression came in, they'd probably want to go home and do something to themselves because it's just depressing to read. It gives no hope in Christ Jesus whatsoever. So I don't know if that answers your condition of man. It's a very high view, but at the same time, a very low view, I believe.
What does Scripture say contra Beth Moore with regard to man's fallen condition?
Well, we look at Psalm 51, verse 5. In sin did my mother conceive me with David. We see Paul in Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our Lord Christ himself, no one is righteous. And even, I think, Matthew 20, verse 28, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That ransom means that man is captive to sin, death, and the power of the devil prior to being freed in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So just a few scripture proofs there to denounce the teachings of Beth Moore.
If man's condition is essentially moral and spiritual neutrality until he acts one way or the other, or decides to act the other way, I suppose that's what the freedom of the will would imply for her, then obviously that kind of covers the conversion angle. You know, you're converted by an act of your will to choose God. What role does Jesus play in her theology as far as you can tell?
I'd say it's more example, you know, but mainly example. Christ is our example, and we've seen that type of theology. Lutherans have fought that for many, many years, this what-would-Jesus-do mentality. But I hate saying this, and it sounds silly. Jesus is more of a lover, even. He's the man who understands me. He's the man who gets me. No other man in my life gets me, but Jesus does. And that's a big problem, because guess what? Yes, he does get us all, because he died for us. So I'd agree with her there. Yes, Jesus gets you. gets you because he takes your sin upon himself and dies your death. But she never gets to that point. It's more of a, he's here for me and my needs. But it's a very abstract there. He's never there in concreteness in the means of grace, but rather just there, like a spiritual life coach giving me a pat on the back when I need it. And that's Jesus in her books.
So would you say it's safe to summarize that by saying for Beth Moore, Jesus is more sympathizer than Savior?
Oh, I would say most definitely. Because especially when you get into her theology of the sacraments, there's no salvation there. The sacraments are nothing. And when she really gets, especially the incarnation, she, in one of her, with every Bible study she does, it comes with a DVD. You watch a DVD of Beth Moore for an hour. Then you have small groups for an hour is what you do. And in her DVD on the incarnation, she read a poem she wrote on what it would be like to be there. And none of it dealt with, this is the one that is in that feeding trough now so that I may feast on him to have eternal life. It never gets to that with Jesus with her. It's very, very shallow spirituality.
Pastor Christopher Hull is our guest. We're talking about the teachings of Beth Moore and Living Proof Ministries. He is senior pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois, and author of a two-part series on called Table Talk, Beth Moore. When we come back, we'll get into some of what Beth Moore teaches about the Incarnation. And he mentioned there the means of grace, or that is the Lord's Supper in particular. She has a few things to say, not much to say, about the Lord's Supper. We'll see how it measures up against Holy Scripture. Our call-in number as we talk about Beth Moore's teachings, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan, Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming, Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana, Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The truth is, God uses change to change us, to coax us to the next level of character, experience, compassion, and destiny. What will ever cause us to move on to the next place He has for us if something doesn't happen to change the way we feel about where we are? God is thoroughly committed to finishing the masterpiece he started in us. And that process means one major thing, change.
It's Beth Moore of Living Proof Ministries, popular evangelical teacher across denominational lines. We're looking at her teachings briefly here on Issues, Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 14th. Pastor Christopher Hull is our guest. Christopher, coming off what we just heard Beth Moore say, she puts a strong emphasis on change and talking about, and this is very popular nowadays in evangelical circles, from Joel Osteen to you name it, going to the next level. To me, tell me if I'm wrong, it just sounds like the same old self-improvement that we often get recycled in churches.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course it is. It's, you know, when we look at self-improvement, it's contrary to Scripture. I think it says something in Romans 6, contrary to that, right? That we've died with Christ, so we shall also rise with Christ. You must die in this world. How can you progress in self-improvement if the point of the faith is to actually die, living to die? It's a very it takes Scripture out of the equation when it comes to theology and replaces it with emotions and human reason. So I would agree with you. Beth Moore is just another package of this self-improvement mantra.
You mentioned before the break that she has, well, some things to say about the Lord's Supper. What does Beth Moore say?
Well, in one of her volumes, she says this. I'll just quote it. Speaking of the Last Supper, she says, "Capture this meal with your imagination. I think we've inaccurately pictured the Last Meal as moments spent over the bread and the wine. Christ and his disciples observed the entire Passover meal together. Then he instituted the new covenant, represented by the bread and the wine." So you have her theology, this representation, the bread and wine are mere symbols of the Lord's body and blood. So we can go, well, okay, well, he does say in remembrance of me, right? So, but then when we look at our own Lutheran confessions, our own theology, we see them, especially in the formula, saying, no, this is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, this sacramental union of the bread and the wine with the body and the blood. And I still think Dr. Luther's treatise, that these words of Christ, this is my body, etc., still stand firm against the fanatics. Luther is quite adamant to say that these fanatics are blaspheming the venerable sacrament, trying to make the bread and wine mere symbols and memorial signs. And Luther warns severely against those who would dilute the sacrament into nothing but a mere representation.
You said that one of the ways she has the two appeals, emotionalism and then urging her audience to kind of put themselves in the mindset of the people in the Bible. So I guess it would stand to reason that if Jesus is there primarily as an example for us to follow, and then in some sense kind of the ultimate man who does what my husband can't, understand me, get me, then you really don't need stuff like his body and blood in the sacrament or forgiveness of sins through the other means of grace, do you?
No. Well, and none of this is necessary. I would come into the meeting sometimes with the women. This was my first year here at Christ Lutheran, so I was treading lightly, as I'm taught to do. And my wife called me back in. She said, they're going fanatical. They're running around, literally, getting excited about free will. You have to get here. So I drove back to the church, and I came in, and I said, why do you want free will? I said, what are you going to do with it? And they said, it's given to us by God. And I said, well, let's open the Bible then. And let's look at where Christ gives you free will. And I said, you're never going to see it. But I said, what you will see is Christ forgiving you of your sin. And I said, now let's open Beth Moore and you'll never see that. Because her priority is how to live the best, well, Joel Osteen, your best life now. How can I be comforted now? But then you have to ignore all saints then. You have to ignore that this life is tribulation, that this life is from the depths of woe, as Psalm 130 says. the forgiveness of sins and absolution is not the sweetness of our Lord. Rather, we need encouraging words instead, words that will uplift us in our daily life. So absolution, it just drags you down. It doesn't build you up today. And that's why you don't see it in her theology.
Now, you've mentioned here several times that Beth Moore had a little foothold there in the congregation you currently serve when you arrived as its new pastor. Is this what, I mean, how deep did it drive you into researching what it is she believes and teaches?
Oh, well, they did two Bible studies the first year I was here, so I read both of those. I read four of her books. I watched a bunch of her YouTube videos. I spent way too much time with Beth Moore. But the problem is, and I guess I can say this on the radio, she was a wolf in sheep's clothing trying to destroy my flock, is what she was. And the only way I could get her out was knowing her abilities, knowing how she gets in and twists. And I learned it. But getting rid of it was the problem, because Beth Moore becomes a friend of the church. You know, she becomes this good friend with people. And how do you get rid of someone's good friend? You have to say, this friend is no good for you. This friend wants to hurt you. This friend desires your death. She wants to give you her poisonous loaf of bread covered in sugar and tell you it's good for you. And all it's going to do is kill you over time, and you won't even recognize it. But getting into her theology, it's basic stuff that you learn at seminary. These were the arguments that Erasmus held against Luther. So if you read Bondage of the Will, you know how to argue the stuff. The problem is being able to compassionately say to your blessed flock, this is something that will harm, not just harm you, but will be your end if you continue to put trust in this type of propaganda. So,
how did your sheep react, at least at first?
Actually, surprisingly well. I came in, and it was all women, and I told them why I was doing this. I said, it's not because I hate this woman. That's not it. I'm doing this because I'm your father, and I love each and every one of you like you're my own child. I said, why would I ever want my child to harm themselves? I said, I'm your spiritual father, and I see you picking up a spoonful of arsenic rather than a spoonful of applesauce, and I need to take it from you. So you may, and some were mad, and I told them, you're probably not going to like me. Same thing as my son doesn't like me when I tell him he can't have chocolate chip cookies for breakfast but must have his porridge. You may not like me for a moment, but I'm taking care of you. None of them left the church. You know, it's always that scare, oh, they're going to leave and form their own. That didn't happen. Because, well, I don't know why. I can't explain it. It was nothing I did. You merely are given there to preach the word and let the Spirit do the work. But overall, she's been gone for a year and a half, and no one's missing her. So I'm most definitely not.
Let me ask you if you had to respond to this one. I'm sure you did. Look, Pastor, I know that you only mean well, but I can name 10 other Lutheran churches that are doing Beth Moore Bible studies right now, and they don't seem to be worried about it.
That happened. And I said, well, I can't respond for those churches. I have not been given charge of them, but I can tell you this. If we want to be Missouri Synod, we must walk together. This understanding of koinonia is walking together not in our compromises, but in our faithfulness to the Word. And I said, please don't go to a church that does Beth Moore Bible studies. Because, and this is a great quote I'll give you, one little gem from Beth Moore. She did a trip to the Holy Land, which I thought she meant Wittenberg, but she meant Jerusalem for some reason. And she went to Jerusalem, and she went to the Wailing Wall, and she put a prayer in it. And she said, what a joy to pray with all the faithful to the one true God at the Wailing Wall. And I said, what Christian church could ever allow this in their congregation? She just said, contradicting John 14, verse 6, that there is a one true God outside of Jesus Christ. That is heresy. This woman cannot be, and that's why I said when that question was asked, I said, I cannot tolerate that in this church, and nor should any church that confesses the scriptures as the inspired and errant word of God in the Augsburg Confession, the Apology, and the rest of the Book of Concord as the true exposition of Holy Scripture. So that was at least my response back then.
With only about 30 seconds, someone says, if they came to you and say, hey, Pastor, I just got this great book from Beth Moore, what would your first response be with about 30 seconds?
Let's go have coffee, and we're going to talk about the dangers of Beth Moore, because trust me, there's a lot more to her than meets your eye right now. Come with me, and we'll go through it with a fine-tooth comb. So I don't want to deal with it right then. Let's go have a cup of Joe and realize that this is not good for you.
Pastor Christopher Hull is senior pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Normal, Illinois. He's author of a two-part series titled Table Talk, Beth Moore. You can read this article at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Christopher, thank you very much for your work, for your research there, and for being our guest.
No problem. God bless you. Keep up the good stuff.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Larry Peters. He has made an observation recently that I think we would do well to observe, but there is a pitfall. There always is. There's a pitfall in this observation. It's one thing to diagnose the problem. It's another thing to come up with a good solution. Many churches have noted that there is a loss of community in the world and generally in the church, and they seek to create that sense of community in their congregations. But many of those churches have become all about that sense of community and very little about the communion of saints gathered together around God's word, the preaching of the gospel. We'll talk with Pastor Larry Peters about the loss of community, why, and what should the church do to respond to it right after this. Does a Christian have a different reason for voting than a non-Christian? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Vote for the Other Guy. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details E.D. Wadsworth's journey from evangelical mysticism to the present tense gospel of the Reformation. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Hi, this is Jonathan Cullen from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org. A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.